I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time to become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. I think we've got a really unique show for you in store this evening, and the main theme we will pursue will be fear. I've never really heard a show that was done on fear before, so I hope you're going to enjoy my take on it. Now, before we get into the heart of the program, I would like created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And also, over the course of the last couple weeks since the last ET Yoga show, I've had some interesting questions come in, and some of those relate to the last program, and I'd like to take this opportunity to answer those questions and also mention to the listening audience that should you like to see a particular show about a particular topic, or would you like to make comments concerning certain aspects of the information provided at ET Yoga on this program, really appreciate your contacting me. And you can look at the BBS main site there where there's a email, paperfungo@yahoo.ca. And also, you could go to www.etyoga.com. That's etyoga.com, where my main website has a contact button. So anytime you've got a question or a comment, feel free to use that service. Now, regarding some of the questions that came in from the last ET Yoga program, one of them was concerning natural sources of monatomics. And for those not familiar with the term monatomics, monatomics are high spin electrons. And I suggest an amazing story that goes along with the discovery of monatomics as told by David Hudson. And if you look in a search engine on your computer under David Hudson Lectures, you'll find a very fascinating story concerning the whole discovery and uses of monatomics. And, of course, one of the things that I think monatomics are best suited for, providing us with high-spin electrons that actually correct DNA. And, yes, in point of fact, there are many natural foods with small amounts of monatomics. Some of those would include flowering kale, carrots, all green vegetables, sea salt, eggplant, flax seeds, Welch's grape juice, almonds, the aloe vera plant, balsam plant, likely Podarco tea because it has one of the highest vibrations of any plant on the planet. And I assume things like argan oil, sesame oil, and olive oil. Also, Bentonite clay, Vitali tea, Essaic tea, Kabuchi or Chinese mushroom, apricot seeds, and watercress. So those, it's not a complete list, but it gives you some idea of the variety of natural foods that do contain small amounts of monatomics. And monatomics were only discovered, I guess it was in the late 1980s, through spectroscopic analysis, which some very sophisticated new equipment that was used in quantum physics. And heretofore, that information was not known. And interestingly enough, I can give you a little bit of background on some of my experience with some monatomics. For example, sea salt. I highly, highly recommend sea salt. I've never used table salt since I discovered monatomics were in sea salt. And not only that, but I also find sea salt to be excellent with respect to brushing your teeth, any kind of hygiene related to inside the mouth. So sea salt is one that I always tell everybody about. And from having spent some time in Europe, specifically in Romania, they have a little practice over there where they put aloe vera juice, mix it with their honey, and it was taken as a sort of a remedy, a home remedy that's been around for decades and decades, probably centuries passed down. And, of course, now it turns out that we know that the aloe vera plant contains monatomics, specifically rhodium. And I would say that this whole area of monatomics is just a phenomenal a topic, because if you look at today's world where we now have increased levels of radiation from a variety of sources, certainly there are widespread other types of diseases out there, and the ability of monatomics to actually reprogram DNA is just a fascinating aspect of these elements or exotic elements. Another question that someone had was concerning other sources, or are there any other products that might contain rhodium or monatomics? And according to an article by Barry Carter, one of the highest sources, natural source of rhodium and iridium is aloe vera. And this was, I think it's still a product. It's now called Injectable Ace Mannan. And it's supposed to be, according to Barry Carter, he found it to be 90% rhodium. And he says they tell you that it's glucopolysaccharide or some chemical like that, but he claims it's 90% rhodium. And it's a product made by Carrington Laboratories, and it's called Ace Mannan. And it's actually been cleared by the AMA and the FDA for cancer treatment in animals. And according to him, the AIDS community has found out about this and is taking it quite a bit, because it dramatically increases white blood cells and T cells. So that's according to Barry Carter. Another question from one of our listeners concerned expanding on the concept about the Philosopher's Stone and with its capacity of turning lead into gold. Well, from practical experience, I can say that I've never had the practical experience of having done that. But through my own reading, I can at least share with you the theory behind this. And if you go on your search engines to what's called cosmic awareness and creating the Philosopher's Stone, there are specific instructions there with respect to the processes that a person would use with the human urine. And it turns out that the secret of the alchemy was human urine and the processes that it goes through and the stages that it goes through. And apparently over a process of 1 to 3 year period, urine can pass through different colors with different oils and eventually leave a residue which is sort of known like a white powder or a white cube. And according to a couple people that have emailed back into Cosmic Awareness, in point of fact, they've been successful in making that. And in that particular article, there's also some references to the turning of lead into gold. There is a claim in the article that there's a British museum which has a piece of metal that's half lead and half gold that apparently somehow was in mid-process of the lead turning to gold. Now, how theoretically that might make sense would be that apparently gold's the only element on the periodic table that has a right-hand atomic spin. And in theory, if you can reverse spin anything else, it would turn into gold. The process would be something like having some sort of a container or a vat to melt lead in and then sprinkling the Philosopher's Stone into the melted lead. And in theory, the high-spin electrons would then reverse spin the atoms in the lead and turn it into gold. So that's the theory behind it. There's also on the internet the Book of Aquarius, which is another process also utilizing human urine, although its process takes about a 3.5 year period. So those are a couple of sources you can look to with respect to finding out more information about the Philosopher's Stone. And interestingly enough, another question was concerning the Ascended Master, Saint Germain. Now, Saint Germain is one of my favorite characters in history, and a phenomenal life. I did a little bit of searching at the Ascension Research Center, and I'd like to share with you what I found there. Francis Bacon feigned his physical death in England on Sunday, April the 9th, 1626, in a philosopher's death, and this refers to the tradition of some philosophers who simulated their death in one place only to transplant themselves into another area to begin a new life with a new name and appearance. And Francis Bacon illumined and raised his body on May 1st, 1684 at the Rakosi Mansion in the Carpathian Mountain regions of Transylvania, which is in Romania. And undergoing the initiation of the resurrection, he became an adept with full Christ mastery of the forces of nature. Francis became what's known to be now the Wonder Man of Europe in the 1700s, working on his resurrected body with embodied individuals in Europe, England, and America to further the cause of freedom and the advancement of learning. And he used various pseudonyms, such as Count Saint Germain, Marquis de Montfort, Comte Bellemare of Ayamar at Venice, Chevalier Schoening at Pisa, Chevalier Weldon at Milan and Leipzig. And a name called Kant Soltkopf at Geneva, Graf Tarzoghi at Dresden, and Comte de Saint-Germain at Paris, The Hague, London, and St. Petersburg. And in 1790, Francis confided to his Austrian friend Franz Grofer that after traveling to Constantinople and then on to England, he would be going to rest in the region of the Himalayas. And by 1875, he completed his ascension and is now known as Descended Master Saint Germain. And he developed the reputation of being an outstanding alchemist. scholar, linguist, musician, artist, and a diplomat. And he worked behind the scenes to try to establish a United States of Europe and to prevent the bloodshed and violent revolution there. His powers included bilocation, appearing at court and then dissolving his form at will, removing flaws from diamonds and other precious stones, and precipitating an elixir that prevented aging. He was also ambidextrous and could compose simultaneously a letter with one hand and poetry with the other, or two identical pieces of writing with each hand. He visited Marie Antoinette and her intimate friend, Madame Delamar, who later wrote the story of his abilities as an adept, and that he had warned of the coming debacle and death of the king and the queen. He also worked behind the scenes with George Washington and Benjamin Franklin to establish the United States of America. Previous incarnations include Pluto, Saint Joseph, husband of Mary, and guardian of Jesus, Merlin, Roger, Bacon, and Christopher Columbus. An amazing, amazing individual. So just wanted to share with you some information concerning the amazing Saint Germain. He's also known, and I could refer you to the Changes on the Horizon, which is on YouTube, which goes into more about Saint Germain's life, and as well the Saint Germain Trust, which apparently is actually a real thing. It apparently has, I don't know, there's so many zeros on the amount of money that he has there that I'm not certain if it's quadrillions or what the exact definition of it is, but apparently it does exist somewhere. Wouldn't want to hold my breath on when it might be released to the public, but I thought that was worth a mention. Now, while I was kind of dabbling around doing research and finding answers to questions that our listeners had, I also came across someone who asked Bashar four real simple questions. And if those not familiar with Bashar, Bashar is Essasani, now called Shikani, since his civilization's dimension has moved up a level. And he's being channeled through Daryl Anka. And Daryl's last I knew was his main base was in Los Angeles. And the questions of Bashar were, was Moses led by an ET craft? Answer, yes. Was the wheel within a wheel described by Ezekiel an ET craft? Yes. Did an ET craft part the Red Sea? Yes. And was the manna that fell to the Israelites dropped from an ET craft? And again, the answer being yes. And I thought that last one certainly ties into monatomics, because in the old days, monatomics was called the manna, and that would be around the time of Christ. So, again, I'd like to point out that if you've got comments, questions, I'd really like to actually have a segment at the beginning of the shows that does talk about issues that are on the mind of our listeners, because at least the years before ET Yoga came about, I used to think that my forte was actually answering questions. But when you're on air and doing a radio broadcast and you're presenting information, turns kind of the tables around. And for those who have never done a radio show before, it's almost like doing a show from a telephone booth, because you're not really getting that feedback from your audience. So you're sort of in a vacuum. And then after the show is usually on a Sunday sometime, I try to listen to the show to kind of get a more of an objective view of how I think things went. But I do appreciate listener input. And again, paper, fungo, all one word at yahoo.ca, or visit my website at www.etyoga.com, hit the contact button, and I'll try to help you out as best I can. Now, moving on to the heart of the show this evening about fear. And you know, when I've mentioned fear to my close friends with respect to doing a show on it, first thing I heard was, wow, that's a great subject because it's so important. And it's so important to get a handle on this topic. And there's lots of little ins and outs about talking about fear. And one of the definitions of fear that I believe came from Bashar was F-E-A-R, standing for false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. Interesting to note. And from my good friend in Boston, I thought he had a very eloquent way of putting this. And he said, they know that fear is their neutralizing force because it paralyzes you. It is their kryptonite. Their biggest fear is that we realize the power that we always had and we'll use it and we won't even have to fire a bullet. We now have access to higher dimensions, not just the fourth. To stay at in higher dimensions, we have to vibrate at that frequency, but we can move in and out and have insight into that reality. The fear we have is illusion. The fear they have is real, as it contradicts all paths to enlightenment. And thanks, John, for that. And again, reconfirming the whole concept that all fear is actually illusion. Now, with all due respect to those who are currently in a state of fear, and with all due compassion towards that situation, we're talking tonight more about the fear that's developed as a result of beliefs. And I believe there's an instinctual fear response that's kind of known as fight or flight. And that's not what we're talking about tonight. And from the College of Christ Consciousness, I think really is some amazing information with respect to really getting at the heart of fear. Because as I wrote down, my first thought about the subject was that fear is an illusion. It's not objectively true. And it always involves erroneous thinking, and that when put to light, sometimes even seems ridiculous. And this concept that it is erroneous thinking is confirmed by the College of Christ Consciousness. In this statement, I cannot be in fear unless I believe that whatever I fear has more power than I do. Believing that anything, anyone else, has more power than I do is the erroneous belief that causes all fear. And I think that bears a repeat. I cannot be in fear unless I believe that whatever I fear has more power than I do. Believing that anything or anyone else has more power than I do is the erroneous belief that causes all fear. And to amplify on that, the College of Christ Consciousness, that's a channeling by Gene Hatch, continues that as aspects of the all that is, prime creator God creates, I create my own personal reality as God creates through thought. Everything begins with thought. Next, I have an emotional reaction to thought. Thought plus emotion creates beliefs from which perceptions, behaviors, and patterns of response are formed. My perceived reality is thus constructed out of these personal belief systems. Nothing can be thrust upon me. I invite everything into my awareness through my thinking. It is my believing that makes it so. So I think starting with a definition like that, it kind of leads us on to a little more a deeper search into the whole concept about fear. And it also clearly relates to how we experience reality. And from Bashar, we get that any experience that is shared by two or more people is the result of all the people involved agreeing to co-create that experience. Even conflict can only occur if both parties agree to be in conflict. You can only experience that which is resonant with the vibrations you are currently choosing to be. If you believe you need to be protected, you are attracting into your reality the very thing you believe you need to be protected from. If war is not of your vibration, there is no way you can experience war. You can only experience that which you have, on some level, already agreed to experience. And relating that specifically to fear, fear means that you believe that a scenario that you very much do not want to happen is very likely to happen. So fear lets you know that you are believing in a reality that you do not prefer. So fear can serve you by being an indicator or an alarm that lets you know that, hey, I'm believing in a reality that is not at all aligned with my being. Once you are aware of this, you can choose to change your belief, so such frightening scenarios will no longer pop up in your reality. First, get in touch with the belief that is causing this fear. Ask yourself, what would I have to believe in order to end up being afraid of this right now? Second, once you get in touch with the belief that is generating this fear, then acknowledge that this is your current belief. Own it, because you cannot change what you don't own. Third, ask yourself, what belief would I like to replace this belief with? Fourth, once you decide what your new preferred belief is, accept it, adopt it, breathe it in, trust that this new belief is now active and functioning in your being. You don't need to get rid of the old belief. You only need to replace it with your preferred belief. Get into the mindset of the new belief. Get into the emotional feeling state of the new belief, and get into the body language and actions of the new belief. And there's a little tip for helping with that part about getting into the body language and actions of the new belief. And that is to sort of use your imagination to visualize in your mind how someone with the new belief would think, feel, and act, and then copy those ideas in the outer world. And in fact, a really interesting technique or actually strategy is to actually say to yourself when you become aware of a fear, oh joy, another fear. I know very few people would do this, but in point of fact, if you think of it kind of like an alarm going off, or let's say a sour note on a piano key, that when you strike that key, it's analogous to a fear. Well, once that particular key gets tuned or there's light shown upon it and it changes into being in harmony with the other keys, that is the process of turning a fear to a joy. So this is very important with respect to dealing with this in an objective way. And, you know, you become whatever you focus your attention on. So to assign meaning to anything, either a positive meaning or a negative meaning, is to invite that into your life. Being neutral about something, assigning it no meaning, is the way to not attract that reality into your life. And for example, if you're watching the news and you have this judgment that, oh, that's terrible, interestingly enough, you're attracting that reality. Similarly, if you see something that's wonderful, you're attracting that reality. And if you feel neutral about something that you're watching, you are not really attracting the reality. So I think that's a real big tip about watching the news. Now, I found over time that some people, when they watch news, especially if it's a lot of really negative things happening, and by their definition, they get very depressed about that watching. And I've always found, for the most part, I just seem to be kind of automatically look at news kind of from that neutral perspective, kind of looking for maybe bits and parts that something new to learn from. In point of fact, I haven't seen the news for, I don't know, a long time. Probably, like, I don't have a TV, so I don't not that I can't afford a TV, don't want a TV. Don't want to spend my life watching a tube that's programming my thoughts and beliefs and creating its own spin on reality. And so thus I run into more and more people that think like I do. I don't feel quite such a dinosaur these days. I think I quit watching TV, as far as having an actual TV in my home, about 12 years ago. So it's quite interesting. I found when you don't have television, you fill your life with a lot of other things, like activities and developing skills or abilities in different subjects or hobbies, reading, focusing on your spirituality, etc. So highly, highly recommend it, because I when I look back, I could never go back to the habit of coming home from work and turning on the TV, and the TV's on all night, and maybe it's on even during the time I'm sleeping, and sometimes you find the TV on when you wake up in the morning. And I know our whole civilization has turned into, it seems like it's a sign of affluence, you know, have a TV in the bedroom, have a TV in all the rooms, and everywhere we go now, the dentist office, the plane, the amazing where these televisions are popping up. And I really don't think it's a positive thing that I personally want in my life. Occasionally I'll go and watch a football game, but I'll make a point of going somewhere, try not to watch commercials, and enjoy a game and call it that, kind of like a fast food place that's meant to be infrequently visited. At any rate, that's just something that relates specifically to fear, because I think the news in particular, for a lot of people, attracts that into their reality, because they're not aware that they need to really feel more neutral about the watching of television. And I think that from the Arcturian information, we also learned that fear kind of begins with the separation from your higher self at birth, because a portion of the higher self splits off to become this incarnation for the experience. And keeping that in mind, there really is no objective reality. We have the idea of a consensus reality, but reality is really the experience. And most repeating issues come from the primary fear of separation, and that's separation. Sometimes we fear separation from loved ones, from possessions, from health, happiness, and from life. And the causal life and the cause for this primary fear of separation is when you first took embodiment in the third dimension and experienced the terrifying separation from yourself. The separation from all that is an illusion. And this illusion only exists in the lower worlds of the third and fourth dimensions. It is the pain of this separation that holds the matrix of the physical hologram in place. And when the illusion of separation is released, the pain is healed, and the illusion no longer has a structure to hold on to. So then it pops like a soap bubble. And when the illusion of separation is released, you can begin to remember your true multidimensional self and ground it in the third dimension. And apparently it's been since the fall of Atlantis that, for the most part, most humans lost that connection with the higher self. And to me, that's huge. And not only huge, but I mean, most people that go around aren't even aware they have a higher self. So it's an interesting experience incarnating on the earth and kind of becoming at one point, a baby that's totally dependent upon the caretakers, and in a sense, we our very life depends upon others looking after us, and thus we do tend to pick up their beliefs, and we download our caregivers' beliefs probably the first half a dozen years of existence, and definitely becomes part of our belief system that eventually as adults we need to look at and thank our caregivers for those beneficial beliefs that serve us well, and also to learn to reprogram and change those beliefs that no longer serve us. And from Pleiadian information, we find out that fear is like a computer virus that disrupts your operational system in many unknown ways. And it's a very beneficial mantra to repeat that I am the creator of my hologram and that I choose to delete fear and live in love. And it is suggested to repeat this mantra over and over to keep this new program intact. Fear has been a major component of all your third dimensional realities. And for that reason, fear is deeply ingrained in your cellular memory. Be patient with yourself and constant with this mantra. And the mantra is, I am the creator of my hologram. I choose to delete fear and live in love. And disconnecting with fear also relates to disconnecting with anger and hate, simply because you hate what you fear. And as you journey into the depths of your consciousness, you will become aware of the inner battle between doubt and promise. And this is according to Pleiadians. Promise tells you that your inner world holds a reality beyond your wildest dreams. However, doubt tells you that this reality is impossible and that you don't deserve it, even if it were possible. And Bashar has said that without a feeling of true value as a human being and a belief in deservability, all techniques would be minimally successful. So it's a very important point. And fortunately, just as you begin to give in to doubt, a still small voice whispers, stay inside to find the promise of the reality you deserve. No, reprimands the voice of doubt. You cannot have that life. You're supposed to work and struggle to survive. Then and only then will you deserve that childish fantasy that you dare to entertain. Go ahead, doubt snickers. Pretend you can have that life. Just don't get too attached to it, for eventually you'll have to return to work. Therefore, you pretend that your dreams are possible, and it feels good, and it feels normal. But then you begin to really believe the promise. And just as you do that, a steel door begins to close in your mind. You struggle against it, but the struggle moves the door closer and more, and it closes more quickly. And fortunately, just when you feel there's no hope, you hear the soothing voice of promise saying, "You are meant to be happy. You are meant to be comfortable and to follow your destiny." "I am destined only for work," the angry voice of doubt returns. "Yes, you did work," answers promise. "That was your lesson then. You believed that you had to work hard. Hence, working hard became your reality. However, you don't want to believe that anymore. You're tired." "Yes, I am tired," you answer. "I'm tired of working and struggling. I almost believe that I don't have to if I could only get rid of the steel door." "Well, give it to me," says the gentle voice of promise. "It has been a heavy burden for you, but it poses no problem for me because I don't believe in it. But how can I give it away? It lives in my mind." "Well, so do I," reminds promise. "If you release to me your steel door and the rigid thinking that it guards, I will show you how to ignore the voice of your wounded ego, ignore your belief in separation and limitation, and ignore the voice of doubt. Then you can listen only to me, for I am the promise that lives inside. I am the promise of yourself. You see, you do not need to battle. You need only to surrender. Surrender to the promise that you can only find within yourself." And to the Palladian dismay, there are those who are resisting this process of transformation. They have not yet won the battle of promise over doubt. Therefore, they are still afraid of change and the losses that change brings. Hence, they hold on to what was and live in fear of the unknown. Because of this, they may experience a more dramatic and less peaceful shift. They may need to be ripped from their possessions, pulled from their power over, and shocked into the awareness that we are all one. This fear of loss of things must be released, or it will create an experience of death instead of ascension. Fear is a very powerful creative force, and if you fear something, the force of that fear will actually bring it about. If you fear less, you will create, or if you fear loss, you will create loss, for you will spin that experience out into your hologram. Surrender to the flow, for what you resist persists. Allow yourself to be ever conscious of what you think and how you feel. Constantly monitor and modulate your own energy of emotion, which is water, and your own thoughts and intentions, which is land. In that manner, you are being the keeper of the land that you're meant to be. And I think it's very interesting to note there when they talk about the fear of the unknown, because in addition to making a friend of fear, Bashar has a really amazing perspective that we also can make a friend of the unknown. And the unknown has a frequency all of its own. And to spend some time learning about the unknown and its frequency. And, of course, try to put positive spin on that as well. And let's face it, a lot of people make judgments because they fear the unknown instead of it being an exciting, positive place to be. And as an example, let's say someone wants to quit smoking, but they think that they're going to become so irritable that the fear of how they'll become is equivalent to that unknown space, and the status quo becomes the line of least resistance. Or sometimes maybe people in abusive relationships that need to move on, but the fear of the unknown is greater than even some of the brutality that could take place in the status quo. So making a friend of the unknown is a really interesting technique. And not only from the standpoint of being courageous and making choices that are what your higher self would want you to make, but also it's a very spiritual place to be, because you really can learn who you are. And according to Bashar, you only find out who you really are in the unknown. So it's amazing, amazing concept. I've never heard it brought up by any other speaker or writer in my experience. So making a friend of the unknown, and also similarly making a friend of fear, because from my research and my own personal experience, I could state that most of the fear that I can relate to on a personal level is basically just ego trying to be protective. And unfortunately, the ego, by wanting to be protective, creates some exaggerated circumstances that are not objectively true, and not because of any bad intention. It's just taking on responsibilities that the ego was not designed to do. So no point not making a friend of fear or making a friend of the unknown. And I think it's also interesting to note that really your power ends where your fear begins. And fear kind of has his foot on that toolbox that's labeled your personal power. And if you think about fear for a time and really get into it, I'd say, as mentioned earlier, that you need to acknowledge any fear that you have, so that you, because you can't change what you don't own. Thus also connects to the idea that you need to take 100% responsibility for your experience in 3D reality. Something I know that everybody needs to work on, because it's easy when things are going well to take credit for it. But in reality, we need to take 100% responsibility for what we experience. If things are just happening, or you believe things happen to you just at random in the universe, well, then that's a belief you certainly can have. But think about your point of power. If, in point of fact, it is your beliefs, emotions, definitions, that and thought, beliefs that create your outer experience, then in point of fact, because you created it, you have the power to change it. So thus, this is a point of power. And the whole topic of fear actually relates directly to taking 100% responsibility for your experience. And it also clearly relates to the whole concept of victimhood, because there are three major identifiers when we're in a state of victimhood. And one is blame, one is complaint, and one is justification of our circumstances. So anytime you find yourself in a state where you're blaming others, complaining, or justifying your experience, you can know that you are creating yourself as a victim. And from my experience on this planet, pretty much everybody on the planet at some point in time has to deal with some issues around victimhood. I mean, let's face it, if you really get into, you know, what's happened on the planet, that we've certainly given away a lot of power. And unfortunately, the people or organizations we give power to away to end up abusing us. If you take a light and shine it on your life and look at any areas where you think you're being abused, I guarantee you that that's an area where you gave away your power. And unfortunately, when we give away our power, people tend to abuse it. And thus, they also use that as a connected to a fear issue to provide you with protection. And I've always said on ET Yoga, the only thing you really need protection from is your own beliefs. And thus, I have no interest in things like vaccines or artificial methods to create some sort of protection. In my philosophy, you can't experience what you're not a frequency match for. Now, some people would like to describe that as the concept that thought creates, or some people would describe that as the concept that beliefs create. It can also be other people understand it that you can't experience a frequency you're not the vibration of. In other words, you have to be a frequency match for what you experience. Otherwise, you become invisible to that. I remember recently some audience member at one of the Daryl Anka channelings of Bashar asked Bashar, what did they do in your world to protect your civilization from war or attack? And interesting answer is that in their world that there's no frequency match for that, so it can't occur. Interesting response. And, you know, a lot of times people can talk about things from just from a philosophical point of view, and but in reality, it's they think that things are, in their reality, things are different, more in the world of practicality. And a lot of these things like thought creates and all this kind of stuff, it's just bogus stuff. It's just, you know, it's just airy-fairy stuff that New Agers think or, you know. And everybody's belief is equally valid. It's not for anyone else really to impose their beliefs on someone. You could present your side, present your belief, and all beliefs are equally valid. I like to use the analogy that one person may think the world's round and another thinks the world's flat. Well, both persons' perspectives are equally valid for them. Although, in point of fact, the person who believes the world's flat will have a more limited experience of all that is. So, interesting concept. Kind of reminds me of another concept that sometimes people think that there's no such thing as proving something like a certain philosophical concept. I believe in the theory that, yeah, that it can be proven psychologically. Let's call it, I call it psychological proof. Here would be an example. Let's say you're sitting in a room at a table with four people, and they all say they've been to the gold mine that's up in the mountains. And after a period of time, you all start describing what the surroundings and the inside looks like at the gold mine. Well, let's say two of the people have been there and two haven't. The two people that have been there know that they're the ones that were actually there, and they'll also know that the other two people weren't there. So there is a psychological proof there. And it's just a factor of human life that there's going to be information out there that's thought to be ridiculous when it's first presented, and sometimes it turns into that ridiculous thinking actually turns out to be true. Interesting aspect of human behavior. And relating all this to the concept of reality creation, because as pointed out in the information given already on the show, if you are really emotionally in fear of something, you are attracting it into your life. And this is through the concept of law of attraction. Or creating a frequency match for what you're going to experience. And again, this always goes back to the original foundations, I think, of that I call of ET Yoga. And by the way, in a couple of weeks, I'm going to be doing a show on what is ET Yoga, and kind of really really covering all the aspects, so that if you, let's say, wanted to start from square one and kind of take the best you can from the ET Yoga program and what ET Yoga is all about, I invite you to tune into that one on our next program. But certainly, as fear relates to our beliefs, beliefs are highly, highly important. It's something that really should be part of our whole educational process in terms of sitting down, taking the time to find out what we really believe about any particular subject. And what you'll find out is that your strongest belief is what you're experiencing. And I always say that the reality creation consists of three levels. First, it consists of your current beliefs, and those beliefs or definitions and the emotions that you put into those beliefs, that's what interfaces emotionally through your heart center with the morphogenetic field and creates your version of reality. The second type of reality creation relates all around positive spin, and that's the concept that outer circumstances do not come with built-in meanings, and thus we place definitions and meanings on the outer circumstances and create our definitions and beliefs. And the formula given by Bashar is positive emotional spin on that experience creates a positive experience, and a negative emotional spin creates a negative experience. And this is the point that I like to constantly challenge our listeners to pay attention to in their own lives. In other words, even keep a log. Find any circumstance that you would view as negative and throw a positive spin on it, and then mark down the results. And some issues are resolved quite quickly. Some others take some time to gain perspective on. But if you play with this idea, what you'll find is it actually works and blows your mind. And I can say from about a lot of years of experience, like I use this anytime anything pops up that looks to be what might be construed as a negative, and immediately throw a positive spin. It's almost like the act itself wakes me up to the concept of throwing positive spin. And Bashar would even go so far as to say that one of the primary functions of the rational mind is to throw positive spin on outer circumstance. In fact, the two main components would be follow your excitement. In other words, at any given point in time, do the most exciting thing that's available to you at that time, follow it to its logical conclusion, and then when you're finished with that, go on to the next most exciting thing you can do that's within your power or within your choices at the time, whether it's in your home and it's reading a book or it's watching something, even a newscast, whatever is the most exciting thing for you at that particular time, just keep following your excitement, because excitement is the compass that tells you that you're in alignment with your higher self. And the third major component in reality creation would be what I would call instantaneous or intentional manifestation. And that clearly, one of the key aspects of that would be emotionally intending with the conception that it's already happened. Because then what you're trying to do is you're bouncing off your intention, off the universal intelligence field, and it does not have a concept about future or past because all is in the now. So the key there being emotion, and with the emotion that it's already happened. Gratitude is the emotion that puts you in synchronicity with heart-brain coherence. So the whole concept of gratitude. We also know that the emotions of unconditional love, gratitude, and compassion are high frequencies. They're very healing. They're actually anti-disease. I'd like to mention at this time that for those of you who are interested in techniques, anything from meditation, Who Am I techniques, Palladian Pillar of Light, spinning, all types of techniques of this nature. You can find them at etyoga.com. I have ebooks there. My new book is also available at the site. It's $9.95. It's called ET Yoga 2012 and Beyond, The True Nature of Reality. I've had some really nice feedback among people who have actually read the content from this book. It's not a book that's in the normal sense. It's basically a series of about 67 or 68 different topics and articles related, sort of tied together with the concept of the true nature of reality. But it's the focus of the book is not only, you know, getting into the specifics of the quantum physics aspects or philosophical aspects that our reality is holographic, that in point of fact, it operates like we're inside a virtual reality or a computer program, with the energy being that of consciousness and the language of recognition being belief. And in simplified terms, it boils down to what you believe is, again, related to like an expanded concept, expanded definition of the placebo effect, which most people understand in our daily world. If you mention placebo, everybody seems to understand that the placebo effect is, it becomes successful because of people's belief. Unfortunately, people don't draw the conclusion that it's not just about pills or pharmaceutical products that this theory holds true for. It holds true for everything in your life. So, again, the attention more to belief is huge. And to eventually learn that it's not about going against anything. When you go against things, it basically just reinforces the energy that you say you're against. The idea is to create a new positive, and creative thinking and creating new positives is all about reality creation. So I'd like to mention that if you're interested in any topics like that into societies and economic functions on off-planet civilizations, everything from archived ET yoga shows, there's extraterrestrial meditation available, even from yogic breathing and meditation instruction, all that kind of stuff is available at www.etyoga.com, and it was designed as a one-stop shop for self-healing and self-empowerment. And actually, the title of the website there is Healing the Known and the Unknown. So in conclusion, I hope that in tonight's show that you picked up a little new spin here or there about the whole idea of fear. And I certainly wish you all the best in your personal dealings with that topic. And as usual, I also wish everybody their success in obtaining full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And I guess the production guys will now give you a little taste of Bashar's XYZ, and have yourself a great evening.
With you, the XYZ extraterrestrial meditation. First, you need to get really relaxed, either lying down or sitting comfortably or even standing up, whatever is the most comfortable for you. I then suggest taking a couple of deep breaths and imagine yourself in your perfect place of peace. You haven't a worry in the world, and are just relaxing in your perfect place of peace. Then imagine the following. Around the area of your heart or solar plexus, just behind that area, is a bright ball of white light. It is a packet of energy that is your essence. This star that you feel inside yourself, this ball of light, now grows and grows and grows in intensity and gets stronger and stronger and stronger until it bursts forth as a beam of light, a laser-like beam bursting out of the front of you and stretches as far as you can imagine infinity to be. Stretching, stretching out as a beam of light beyond the solar system, beyond the Milky Way galaxy, and beyond, going faster and faster and faster all the way to infinity. But it is also elastic, so as it reaches infinity, it slows down and will stop and turn around, and as a solid beam, it will creep back towards you from the far reaches of infinity. Faster and faster and faster and faster and faster until it comes crashing through the center of your body and through you and out your back and all the way to infinity out the back. All the way out, further, further, until it reaches infinity. And it returns, but a little faster now. And faster and faster and faster until it too crashes through you out the front all the way to infinity. But it returns even faster now out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front. Back and forth, 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 back and forth. And out the front and out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And let yourself get used to this idea. And then when it gets right in the middle of your body, it crashes out the left side all the way to infinity and back out the right side all the way to infinity and turns and comes back through the center, out the left side and back out the right side and side to side and side to side and front and back 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 until you get used to the idea. And then you have created an X and Y axis. Now another beam goes crashing through your head up all the way to infinity and turns around and comes crashing back through your head and out the bottom and up and down 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 and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side. And it begins to build, 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 and builds to build until an infinite number of rays fly out simultaneously to infinity and stay there. You are suspended on beams of light, and you are stabilized at infinity. You hang there for eternity at infinity. Then you start to notice little bits of pulses, symbols, and signals, like a web that you are in the center of. Bits of information coming and going from every dimension and every space and time that exists. Every doorway and every gateway and forms and ideas and messages and communications like a giant matrix. You feel the ebb and flow of the infinite possibilities from every space and time, from front and back and side to side and up and down, clickety-clack, 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 clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clack. Clickety-clack. Now send out one large pulse on every line outward and receive one large pulse coming back like a heartbeat. Boom, 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 boom. And now you're starting to sense a larger infinite mass mind behind this heartbeat, this pulse. It's like a gigantic awareness, one soul, one mind. You are suspended in the center of eternity. Boom, 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 boom. Now, with every heartbeat, a new breath, a new awareness, a new perspective, a new experience, a new sensation, a new dimension. A new galaxy, forever, forever, new, new, new. And now all the beams expand until you are surrounded in a sea of light that is becoming more transparent, until it is like a bubble. But you can still hear it. Boom, 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 boom. You can feel the seed of all that is. And as the blood flows from your own heart, as the seed of the infinite of all that is, on that pulse, you are connected from every direction and any direction simultaneously. And every time you remember your heartbeat, you will feel connected to this heartbeat. Be in your perfect place of peace and feel your heartbeat. Now, take a deep breath and feel refreshed, feel loved, and feel energized.
BBSRadio.com. If it's not mainstream, it could be here. Information and knowledge bringing humanity closer to truth. BBSRadio.com.